Bizarre and B. That's what Damien Verrett's record label calls the music that he makes under the name So Much Light. This week on Insight Music, you'll hear cuts recorded live in our studio from his album Oh Yuck. And it's been a big year for Davis musician Lillian Francis. Okay, let's work backwards here. Right now, she graces the cover of the most current issue of Submerge magazine. She released her debut EP and headlined the Cap Radio Tiny Desk Concert. That was all in the last 6 months. We'll revisit Lillian's in-studio performance that we recorded back in February. And Alyssa and Kevin Stefanescu, they make up the band Topograph. We'll hear them perform tracks from their first EP called Colors. And about how gentrification is a major theme on the song Broadway. That's by Poor Majesty, aka Adrian Gilmore. He'll be talking about the song and how he sees the theme apply to the Sacramento neighborhood Oak Park. I'm Nick Bruner, and all of that is coming up over the next hour on Insight Music. Hello, and welcome to our monthly music special, Insight Music, here on Cap Radio. My name is Nick Bruner. I host Hey Listen every Saturday night right here on this radio station. It's Cap Radio's smorgasbord of unexpected and underheard music.
I don't even need my spells to shut it down.
Like that guy, Damien Verrett.
I can stir the fire inside, breathe smoke with.
Now, as you can hear, there are swirling R&B loops, all framing Damien's powerful while still gentle tenor voice. Damien's been making music in the Sacramento scene under the name So Much Light since around 2014. And he visited us at Cap Radio last year for an in-studio session. We started our discussion talking about his first big break.
I think everybody gets like one really lucky cold call that will be responded to, and mine happened to be like an email I sent to the label manager at Anti with a demo I recorded. The label manager at Anti is this great guy. His name's Andy Calkin, and there are very few people like this in the music industry, but he's one of those dudes who will listen to like a demo and sign an artist based on that. Don't send him unsolicited material. He won't listen to it. I'm going to kind of paradoxically cross out that last statement.
So back up a little bit. So you didn't send it totally blind to Anti Records.
No.
You had a relationship beforehand. Did they contact you or did you contact them first?
My manager at the time contacted them.
I see.
So it wasn't unsolicited, but yeah. So he heard it and he liked it. And it wasn't like right off the bat, like, yes, we're signing this kid. There was some like back and forth of like, okay, like what does the next record sound like? I sent him some more demos. I went and met them, had some conversations, and
So they're thinking even further out in the future then, like, so as opposed to like maybe like the one album that you're working on, and the, I mean, they're interested in that, of course, but they're also thinking like, what else?
Yeah, ideally we're like partnered and we're both along for the ride.
So when all that was passed and all that was done, what did that feel like to you?
Pretty surreal, just because I did grow up listening to a lot of bands on that label. You know, at that age too, I kind of felt like getting signed to a label was making it, and then that was it, and like I didn't have to do any work for myself at that point. But that has proven to not be true. It definitely was like a huge burden lifted. I had just graduated from school. I was kind of having to decide if music was something I wanted to take seriously or if I could take myself seriously, like as a college graduate, like pursuing this goal. They kind of swept in like right when I needed them to.
That was nice of them.
Yeah.
Yeah. I can do the math in my head. Laying down, she'll be getting out of bed. If I can do the math in my sleep, can't the hours keeping you from me, baby? So complicated, so simple.
could move me just to say goodnight. Hey, I can go as far as you need me. Just a stone's throw keeping you from me, babe.
Track is called Simple How I Feel, recorded live in our studio by Damian Verrett. My name's Nick Bruner, and this is Insight Music, a monthly special on Cap Radio. We're featuring some of the best in local pop this go-around, and right now, my conversation with Damian, who makes music as So Much Light, we're discussing his signing to the prominent independent label Anti Records.
Yeah, it opened a lot of doors from a production standpoint, just because I recorded most of what I had done up until that point in my bedroom, like in the closet. But it allowed me to go into like the nicest studio I've ever been in. And I got to meet the guy who's now my like engineer and like mixing engineer, Jason Cupp, who I wouldn't have been able to afford to work with otherwise. And now he's a really good friend and like number two as far as like producing these songs goes. That was the main thing. Just, I'm not going to throw down real money on, like, my music. I can't afford to do that. I was super broke. Still am broke, but.
So, besides being broke, what else remains difficult? Like, what hasn't changed, regardless of the fact that you're now on Anti?
I mean, it's still an indie label. It's not like it's a huge development deal from like Columbia Records or something, you know? So I still have to like build my audience and I'm still touring in a really DIY fashion, you know, which I like because it's what I'm used to. I think the most difficult thing was realizing my expectations were not in line with reality and things weren't just going to change overnight. And now that, you know, it took a little while to like let that sink in and realize how proactive I still needed to be in all these areas that I thought, oh, that's their job now. Like, you know, it was a learning experience.
What were some of those expectations that you had that were maybe a little loftier than could be accommodated?
I think like press relations, I thought maybe there are people that like a label can just call up who are just going to, you know, like, don't they know somebody at Pitchfork who's just going to like review this song now? Like, that's not how it works. There needs to be some kind of momentum behind something before anybody will care to listen to it.
Well, good luck getting an interview at Capital Public Radio. I hear those guys are bastards. So.
Special episode, the kind you can watch with your folks. If it's something sentimental, anecdotal, gonna go through the motions again. She really likes the song around that I had on the corner. Self-referential, confessional, gonna go through the motions again. All creation. Sweeten my tears, saccharine and masturbation. Bring special episode. Message that shoved in your throat. Oh, and quiet the more of a fighter. And according to the motions again. She really likes the ribs to ride. The hammer of the bent is high. The distortion pepper, crank the levels, gonna go through the motions again. Searching all over creation. Sweeten our teeth, saccharine masturbation. Searching all over creation.
Next Thursday night at Golden Bear in Midtown Sacramento, catch an embarrassment of Sacramento music riches with live performances by So Much Light, as well as Sea of Bees and Trey Burt. That show kicks off at 8 o'clock. Infectious Glitter Rock coming up next as we get talk and tracks from Davis artist Lillian Francis. That's just a minute away when Insight Music presents.
You'll change your mind. Two taps, one hot, one cold. Two buns, one I don't know. But you know me, same time. Three times, I wanna hear the bad news. Can I have the bad news? You can know they're all mine. Be as true as you. It's good enough for you, it's good enough for me.
Back with Insight Music, Cap Radio's monthly special highlighting artists from in and around Sacramento. Hi there, I'm Nick Bruner. Let me ask you something. When you leave the house, what are the last things you check for? Well, ever since February, every time I walk out my door, I can't help but go phone, keys, wallet. And that is entirely thanks to Lillian Francis. You're going to find out why in song, no less, coming up in just a few minutes. But we're going to start with how she got to her current sound, because it wasn't always like this.
The summer after I came back from Spain, I was working on a farm in Winters, California, and I got tendonitis from over-harvesting girthy vegetables, i.e. butternut squash. There's a lot of pinching happening out in the fields. It led me to get tendonitis, and I had to stop playing guitar, which was really, really devastating for me because it's such a means of expression. It's like another limb. So to have this acoustic amputation, I was like, well, how do I express myself? How do I make music? And that's when I really started diving into electronic music because it was the only kind of music that I could make.
Had you played with synthesizers?
Yeah, I'd been producing at that point for about 2 years, but I never performed live with my laptop because it's so much more comfortable to perform with a guitar. It's so much more part of you and incorporated into your body. Working through such a foreign, object, such as a computer, like the computer knows what it wants. If I'm playing guitar and I mess up, I just keep going and the guitar catches up to me. But if I trigger the wrong thing or press the wrong instrument, it can really throw you off in the middle of your set. So I was nervous to learn that, the aspect of performing live.
Did you spend much time mourning the loss of your ability to play guitar?
Absolutely. But also, you can mourn something, but at the same time be like, well, it's not going to get any better by like sitting here and thinking about all the songs I could have written, you know, as long as I have some musical. And I don't know, it made me appreciate my electronic music so much more, because if I hadn't had that outlet, what would I have been doing? Like whistling? I don't know. I still whistle.
Thank you.
Okay, and the song Flinch, it comes from your experience living in Spain, right? Tell me more about that.
So I went to like a Spanish immersion elementary school and spoke in high school and college and then moved to Spain after college. And so I've always spoken Spanish, but I've never been able to roll my R's. And like my sister has pretty much the same Spanish capabilities of me, has like the best R roll. And I just like, I can't do it. So when I'd be in Spain, for the most part, I have a pretty good accent. People would normally think I'm like Italian or something. I didn't really come across as American, which flattered me. But they would know as soon as I messed up that R, they're like, oh, where are you from? You can't pronounce that. And it was such a sore thumb. I don't know. That really made me stand out. Like, I speak the language. I really do, and I'm pretty fluent. But at the same time, my personality is composed of so many nuances and, like, little quips and really bad jokes and plays, you know, on words that just can't come across. Like, I remember once I was trying to make a joke in Spanish, and I wanted to say, haha, cat's out of the bag. And I was like, gato fuera bolsa? And everyone's like, just silence. And I was like, oh, okay, no. So anyways, I like coming back to the States and being able to communicate really well with everyone. I don't know. It just like opened up this whole new possibility of communication and self-expression.
Well, that's so interesting. You're such an ebullient person.
Thank you.
And very friendly and open. When you're living in Spain, do you feel like that was that tempered by the language barrier, even though you spoke Spanish fluently?
I don't know. I kind of, when I went to Spain, I thought I was going to make a lot of friends. I'm like, I can make friends anywhere, whatever. But I went to a pretty isolated part of Spain. I was up in Galicia, and most people there speak Gallego, as well as Spanish, because I was in a pretty main city. But I thought it was going to be really easy to make friends, and it turns out it was pretty closed off and a little bit difficult. So I think that contributed to, me becoming more open energy-wise, because when you can't communicate with someone with words, you really think about how you're presenting yourself with your energy and your vibe. And so I would have to walk into a room and without saying anything to anyone, be able to convey my personality just by my presence.
That sounds like a lot of nuance has to be put into body language and expression.
Yeah, totally.
Wow.
Yeah. And also just getting better at listening to people and understanding them, because the more you understand people and listen to them, you know, the more it's reversed and you get that same respect. So yeah, it was a great learning opportunity, and I'll be back in like 2 months.
Is that gonna be regular? Do you feel like that's a regular part of your life? Is that something you want to go pursue and live abroad and live in Spain full time?
Yeah. Well, when I moved back to Davis in the summer of 2016, it was my intention to go back to Spain and live there for another year. But I got here and I realized that everything I wanted was right here. And so I didn't go back, but I miss it all the time. Like, I'm going to go back this summer for 3 months just because I miss the language so much. The way it slithers through my mind, Spanish versus English, it's just so gratifying. I feel like when people talk to me in Spanish, they talk in cursive, and it like pets my mind in a way that people in English talking in print, I don't know, it doesn't. So that's why I like singing in Spanish too. It just gives it a whole new dimension.
Going back to your early days as a musician, so you got a guitar around the age of 12, but you didn't really start playing it until college. What was it that kept you in high school from really diving in?
Oh, I always knew I wanted to be a musician. Like when you'd play, you know, the game Life, and you'd get handed like the career cards, I would always pick singer. Mm-hmm. I watched a lot of American Idol as a kid and would like daydream about me being, you know, on the stage and being a musician and performing for people. And oh my God, I tried out for like every talent show every year and I never actually did it because I'd always get chickened out, right? So I think a lot of it had to do with just fear. And while nobody told me I couldn't do it, nobody told me I could. Like, I didn't realize it was a thing where if you wanted it bad enough, you can do it. There's a funnel. There's an equation. If you put yourself into that equation and you make people listen, they'll listen. And you can do that.
And when did that happen for you? When did you give yourself permission to be a musician?
I didn't tell anybody out loud I wanted to be a musician until I was living in Spain. And I think everyone knew, but I was too embarrassed to say it. It's dumb to be embarrassed about what you want. It's stupid, but I was embarrassed. Another turning point for me was I was speaking with a friend of mine. Her name's Abby Diamond, and she's an incredible artist, musician, songwriter. And she lived in New Orleans at the time, and she was telling me about the music videos she was shooting and the album she was recording and the producers she was working with, and she's doing all of this independently. And it's the first time it clicked in my mind, like, oh, you can do that. I can do it. Oh, okay. And yeah, as soon as it clicked, then I was like, oh, this is lit. Like, this is absolutely what I have to do.
Well, Lillian Francis, thank you so much for coming to Capital Public Radio. This has been so much fun.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate it so much.
Her EP, which you can buy right now for money, is called Timeism. And you can see her perform this Sunday night at the Blue Lamp in Sacramento, along with bands New Spell, Insight alums Petaluma, it's their last show, by the way. Oh, and also on that same show, the next band you're going to hear when Insight Music returns. Cap Radio in Sacramento, this is Insight Music. Oh, hello there. I'm Nick Bruner. Over the summer, Kevin and Alyssa Stefanescu released their first EP as a band and as a married couple. They make music as the experimental indie electronic duo Topograph. Now, Kevin, he's played in local bands for years, but Alyssa? She's a relative newcomer.
Music was always his thing, and when we were dating, he kind of wrote his own stuff, but it was never anything he would put out. And it was after we were married. I was kind of just sitting in our room one day, and he came in, and he was like, what do you think about writing music together? I was like, okay. And then he kind of just walked out, and that was the conversation. So,
well, have you written music yourself?
Never really written music. I did band in high school and elementary school and junior high, and I, you know, would sing at church and stuff, but I never wrote my own stuff.
I understand you have some solid French horn background.
Oh, yes.
Well, tell me a little bit about writing music for the first time. It sounds like it could be a daunting experience.
Yeah, it's a little intimidating, especially with Kevin, because he's so skilled and he knows a lot more than I do. So this has been a whole new venture for me. And so it's kind of exciting in a way that I'm learning all this new stuff about music that I never knew before. But it's also a little bit nerve-wracking entering his world, kind of.
sunsets go.
Having a partnership in a band can be stressful enough when it comes to agreement on artistic direction. And then marriage is a whole other magic frustration. How's that working for the two of you since you became Topograph?
Well, I thought about that, you know, before I asked, you know, hey, want to make music? You know, we work really well together, and that's not to say we haven't had disagreements so far in the writing and creating process and even in graphics and things like. She usually takes care of the graphics. So, but we run everything by each other, you know, the creative music side on my side, I'll run it by her and she'll run the graphics on my side. But I think that I felt like when I was in bands, a lot of times you're meeting these people for the first time and they could have a completely different background than you. And that makes it just that much harder. And I felt like with me and her, okay, well, we already have a pretty good marriage and we work really well together on the things we've done in marriage. You know, like she did photography for some time. I would help her out with certain aspects. And so I felt like, well, you know, this could actually work really well. And we were already going to move into the van at that point. And I was like, well, what's something we could do that's mobile? Since we're going to already live in a van, the music was kind of an afterthought to that. It just seemed like everything kind of would work out.
track is called Dreams by the band Topograph, recorded live right here in our studios. Hear an extended interview and more of their music as part of the Hey Listen podcast. And check out the show that they're performing this Sunday night, along with Lillian Francis, Newspell, and Petaluma at the Blue Lamp in Sacramento. We'll wrap this session of Insight Music with Poor Majesty. That's coming up in just a minute on Cap Radio. Hi, and welcome back to Insight Music on Cap Radio. I'm Nick Bruner. Very glad that you could join us for this edition of the program today, and that you aren't missing out on this next artist, because he's amazing. Adrian Gilmore performs under the name Poor Majesty. You might have heard of him as part of the Sacramento hip-hop group Tribe of Levi. He and I talked about the inspiration behind his new music, his solo project, and establishing his own identity as an artist.
When I started the name, it was just Poor. And then I felt like, you know, I'm getting a little older, a little more mature, and then I put the majesty on it, you know what I mean? So I can kind of, you know, represent God body and, like, just feel important, you know, hold some importance on my name also. And a little play on words, sounds like Your Majesty.
You tackle some heavy issues in your music. Mm-hmm. I mean, let's start with Broadway.
Yeah, so basically Broadway just started with the idea of wanting to bring gentrification into the conversation. I think it's prevalent everywhere, all over the country. So Broadway could be a song about Baltimore, Maryland. It could be a song about Brooklyn. You know, they're dealing with a lot of gentrification. I see it every day on Broadway. I, you know, live over there. And so I just wanted to bring that up and just talk about it. And a lot of people are fighting. The rent is crazy expensive. I know a lot of people that have went through a lot of those struggles. So I take pieces from those people and put it into the music. I feel it would be a disservice if I didn't talk about those issues for those people. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like this is what I'm here to do, so I need to do that for them.
The dream is over. Woke to these covert ops. Racist cops with their profile stops. Raising the rent another 7%. Got every tenant on my block in some state of shock. I once thought grandmama was good here till she got the refi fixed for 4 years. Goddamn, another scam, another jam to put bread on. Had to be the Lord to keep us here this long, huh? My folks strong, we do struggle our whole life. We juggle them lemons that we've been given to whole pies. All on the prize, cause we destined to rise. Cause every day that I'm given is a pleasant surprise. I might cry looking back at all the blessings bestowed. And thought of Broadway's if it's more than a road with barbecue spots and black-owned barbershops. Cameras on every block while them boys just watch. Hard to feel at home with helicopters. And helicopters over these modern-day sharecroppers. Trying to make it on our own. Ain't trying to be no saint or no clone or no slave to a throne. They don't dance no more. All they do is pop. Then get replaced by a newer scared rookie cop. Ooh, it's getting hot. Y'all just seeing how real it's gotten. The landlord said they building some condos and they gon' want their rent raised, so we out pronto. Might have to spend a night or two in the Bronco. I don't know what the rich folks came for. Broadway, the perfect spot for a coffee shop. Buying the neighborhood without giving nobody jobs. This ain't no hardy heart. It's hard to win when your skin is a probable cause on Broadway, y'all. Hurt and pain, hope and shame and heartache. But who's to blame? It's a cold game where the rules change often. These folks in office is focused on their profits. It's no coincidence we locked inside of projects with alcoholics and drug addicts searching for solace. It all started with a lack of opportunity. The government put the dope in the community. Some of my folks saw this as an escape and ended up in a grave or either locked in a cage. Another modern day slave for the rest of his days and realized that the trap was just another charade. All the money he made, season taken away. The crime wave paved the way for lower property rates. Some say the neighborhood's gentrified. I seen the bigger picture, figured it's a genocide. We struggle just to stay alive on Broadway.
But my life, my mind, my light, my shine. from here to Broadway.
Can you tell me a little bit about the evolution of your music? Like, where are you at now as opposed to, say, even last year?
I approach making a record like a big ball of clay. I would like to construct the album to where you, when you put it on and then when the album is done, you just want to hit play again. So I want to find the concept of the album and how that flows. Right now, where I'm at versus where I was last year is trying to find what I want to say and how I want to say it and present that.
You have a long history in the Sacramento music scene with Tribe of Levi. What can you do as Poor Majesty that you weren't allowed to fully express in a group like Tribe of Levi?
I would say I could do anything I wanted with my music. I'd like, regardless what group I'm in. Honestly, it's like a little easier to be in a group than it is to be by yourself because you have other people helping you with this or that. They never tried to stop me from doing what I wanted to do. And a lot of the ideas and concepts, you know, like we all kind of pitched in on that. But I would say, like, you know, I like to write a lot of the hooks. I like to make things catchy. So I took control of a lot of that. They were also really good writers, so it just kind of all gelled together.
So I guess a better way to ask that question that I should have thrown out the first time, what are you allowed to do as a solo artist that you weren't able to do in a collaborative project?
Collect all the money from the door. No. Yeah.
If you love somebody, tell them. Give them their roses where they can smell them. I know you know, but I don't want you to go to be sad. If you love somebody, tell them. Give them their roses where they can smell them. I know you know, but I don't want you to go. She was born in Macomb, Mississippi. Damn, Skippy, she could cook good. They say nothing lasts forever, but I wish she would. She did the best she could, huh, with what she got, and got us this far. Hell of a job. Round of applause, Grandma, you deserve that. Taught us all about respect and how to get it back. And treat others how you wanna be treated. And be there for folks that truly need it. So glad you got to see this. You're one of God's best, yes, believe it. Back bone in the home, cooking and cleaning. Whole house smell like seasoning during the holiday season. I remember Burlington, that was the pulse. Her gifts were usually some jackets and coats. In the winter, kept us out of the cold. Probably sick of seeing our snotty nose. We sat in line by this gentle soul that's getting old. She had the warmest heart I ever know. She stayed by the kitchen stove. If you love somebody, tell them. Give them their roses where they can smell them. I know you know, but I don't want you to go till we say. If you love somebody, tell them. Give them their roses where they can smell them. I know you know, but I don't want you to go till
we say. My grandfather had to work harder than the next man. Cause it's black skin, he was working at the dam. Working with his hands and working on a fam. I know it wasn't easy, but now I understand. To make the most of what you got, do what you can. And that's the motto, think of tomorrow, make a plan. I wanna follow my grandfather, I'm a fan. 90 years of good health, living off the land. Ran his own business, divided up the yam. If it weren't for you, I wouldn't have made it where I am. He kept the gold Shasta at 50 cent a can. Aw, man, gotta love that he wasn't playing. He loved a young and restless and soul train. Rocking the gold chain, studying his old ways, thinking about his old.
That's Adrian Gilmore, also known as Poor Majesty. He was joined by Sine Goss on vocals, John Johnson on keyboard, Peter Clevenger on guitar, and Alfonso Portella on drums. Adrian tells me that the new Poor Majesty album will release in the spring of next year, but you don't have to wait that long to hear some of the music from it. You can find videos of the band performing live in our studio, posted to our website and the Cap Radio YouTube channel. And there's more with Poor on the Hey Listen podcast. With that, thank you so much for listening to this month's edition of Insight Music, which simply could not happen without the efforts of Jen Picard, Cody Drabble, Bert Johnson, Mark Jones, Beth Rujek,
and the Cap Radio digital team. Insight Music's executive producer is Joe Barr. I'm Nick Bruner, and when I'm not hosting this, I'm hosting Hey Listen, which explains why you heard all those plugs for the Hey Listen podcast throughout the last hour. Check out that show every Saturday night at 8 and online anytime at capradio.org. Insight returns with an all-new edition on Monday. We'll see you then. Thanks for listening.
If you love somebody, tell them. Give them their roses while they can smell them.